Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker. As a part of the build-up to the big game, we've lined up two very special interviews that I did earlier in the year with two men who are heavily involved with the NFL in one capacity or another. Today, we're going to hear from Drew Pittman, who is a sports agent representing many players in the NFL. And although Drew is a successful agent, he's more concerned with being a successful parent, which is why he wrote a book on the subject titled First Team Dad. I'm going to interview Drew about that book today. Well, we have a very, very special guest today, and I'm really excited to be talking to this man who's written a wonderful book called First Team Dad. His name is Drew Pittman. He is an NFL player. He is now a professional sports agent, but more importantly, he is a father and a husband, and he loves Jesus Christ, and I am really excited to be talking to him this morning about fatherhood. Drew, welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker. It is a joy and a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, you have written a marvelous book called First Team Dad, Your Playbook for a Winning Family. What do you mean when you say you did some things not very well? Because I'm sure there are a lot of dads out there feeling exactly like that. I don't feel I'm doing anything well. Specifically, what did you feel you weren't doing well?
I think the basic things of reacting in anger, being frustrated, wanting my boys to maybe behave in a way that's above their age level. You know, we want our kids to be great, and we want them to do all the right things, and they're kids, and
right.
And they're not going to. And so as a man who's working and traveling and doing all kinds of other things, when you get run down, I think when you get tired is when I have a tendency to react instead of being calm. You know, Tony Dungy wrote the foreword to my book, and I love Coach Dungy. He's an awesome man, and he's been a great friend to me and really a great role model. And one of the things I love about Coach Dungy is that he's always so calm. He was like that on the sidelines. He was like that in practice. So I try and not react, but just be calm. And so those are the things that I felt like I was not doing well. And then the age-old thing as a dad and as a husband is just juggling time.
Right.
So sometimes I'm not balanced, and sometimes I have to make decisions that take me away from my family when I would rather be with my family. So those are some of the main things for me.
I think those are, you know, whether you're an NFL player, whether you're in any other kind of profession, I think those are a lot of issues that a lot of men I've heard struggle with, and that is high expectations, a sense of drivenness in the home in a way. It's almost as though I've seen men say, I kind of approach my kids the way I would my workplace, which is let's push, 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 do better, do better, do better. And then also, and I get easily frustrated if the caliber isn't up to what I want. And I think, you know, I love their honesty in saying that, because that's really hard. Your expectations and your mood and your tone need to be very different at home. And that's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely.
Yep. You talk about specific things, disciplines that are necessary to be an elite athlete, and how those transfer into being a really good dad. Can you talk specifically about some of the things that you've found helpful for you that have transferred over?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at principles that we learn from sports, you know, there are a number of different things. And one of the things that you brought up, the disciplines, you know, the second chapter in my book is called Create a Culture.
Yep.
And so, you know, I feel like every home has a culture, just like every team has a culture. And the question is it going to be intentional? And so, you know, I decided that I needed to have a intentional culture in my home that was more than just, okay, we're going to go to church and we're going to treat each other with respect and, you know, we're going to show chivalry to the only female in our house, my wife. And so, you know, those were some things. But one of the things that we decided as a family was going to be a part of the way we did it at our place was that we were going to have discipline. And, you know, we're going to be a people who love Jesus. We're going to be servants to not only each other, but also to our community. We're going to behave with character and integrity. And then we were going to be disciplined. And I think, you know, discipline is something that kids always think of in terms of, I'm getting in trouble.
Yes, right.
But discipline is just having the ability and the desire to do the things that need to be done when they need to be done. And so I feel like discipline is something that's very important in a family. And so we came up with those things. And so we determined what the behaviors were going to be so that we could live the way that supports the intentional culture.
I love the idea, and that's why I wanted you to expound on that idea of creating a culture, because we are a culture in a home. We're a little ecosystem, and there is going to be a rhythm, there's going to be a tone, there's going to be an energy, there are moods. And a father has to decide either he's going to take charge and mold and shape that and lead it, or he's going to let it develop a chaotic life of its own, which it will if somebody doesn't step up and take charge. I love your chapter titles, When Injured, Stop the Bleeding, Stay in Step, Check Your Baggage, Establish Trust. And what I love about your book, at the end of every chapter, you have a game plan, which is extremely important for men who are very pragmatic. And they say, here's a problem, what's the solution? And you give them step-by-step solutions. But what I would like to talk about is Chapter 9, Check Your Baggage. Because I'm a firm believer that we bring our past into our current parenting without even knowing it. And I think this is true for a lot of men in particular who are trained as they're growing up to not necessarily talk about hurts or things that have shaped their character in a negative way. And if you don't recognize it and confront it and change it, you will parent your kids out of your woundedness. As an author and a football player and a dad, what do you see as some of the common baggage that men bring into their parenting?
Well, first of all, I think we all do bring baggage. We also bring the good things as well. And I'll tell you a quick story about the other night. I had disciplined both my boys, you know, taking away a phone and an iPad, and, you know, my oldest was not very happy about it, and he thought I was being unfair, and I brought them both together, and we sat down, and I said, look, guys, when we brought y'all home from the hospital, we did not get an instruction manual. Mm. It said, when this happens, do this. When this happens, do this. And so I said, a lot of how I'm parenting you is based on how I was parented, because that's the way we do it. That's
exactly
what we know. And I told him, I said, look, you know, your grandfather was an awesome man, and he did a lot of things right, and he did a lot of things wrong. And I'm trying to learn from his mistakes, and I'm trying to do the things that he did well. I'm trying to do those things. I said, but the one thing you have to understand is every single thing I do as it relates to y'all is because I love you.
Mm.
And I said, the only thing you can count on is that I am going to make mistakes. I'm gonna be wrong sometimes. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to grit your teeth and say, it's because he loves me.
Mm.
And you know, the really great thing with that is, how do you argue with that? You know, you can't. It's like, yep. Hey, I know I might be wrong. I'm doing what I think's right.
But they can't, yeah.
But it's because I love you. And then the other thing I told them is, I said, and the way you parent your kids is going to be based on how I'm parenting you. Mm. So I feel this huge responsibility of, number one, being a great dad to you guys. And then number two, teaching you how to be a great dad to your kids. And so that's how that relates to check your baggage. You know, I had to check the baggage of the stuff. My dad was an awesome man. He went to be with Jesus in December of last year. Mm. And just so thankful for him. Mm-hmm. And he and my mother got divorced when I was 8. You know, but he was always there. He was always around.
Mm.
And he did a lot of great things. But, you know, some of the major mistakes that he made, there was some hurt and there was some pain. And I had to forgive him for some things. And mostly it was for things that he didn't do and lessons that he did not teach me that caused me pain in my life. And so I had to forgive him for it. And then I also had to learn from it and go,
right.
I'm not doing that to my boys.
Right. There's one thing I want our listeners to pay attention to in what you were saying, too, and that is you just described a beautiful conversation that you had with your boys who are now 12 and 14, you said?
Yes.
And a lot of parents say, oh, you can't talk to teenage kids. They don't want to listen to you. Oh, yes, they do. And your conversation with them is testimony to that fact that you can have great conversations with teenagers. It's you got to know the questions to ask and you got to know how to talk to them. And I think that if parents could talk to their kids the way you just described, where you sit down and say, hey, guys, I love you. Everything I'm doing is out of love. Those kids are going to eat up what you have to say. Isn't that your experience with your boys?
I totally agree. And, you know, let me just say right off the bat that I do not hold myself out to be this expert in parenting or as a husband. I'm just a dude who's trying to be better.
Mm-hmm. What does greatness for you personally, Drew, look like and feel like when your boys are 22 and 24, 23 and 25?
I think it's when they're living their lives, number one, for the Lord. I was blessed to have the opportunity to actually lead both of my sons to Christ, to pray the prayer of salvation with them. Mm. I was blessed to be able to baptize both of them and the lake that we have a lake house on. And so those were great things. But what greatness looks like when I look at them and them being older is that they're treating women with respect.
Mm.
They're honest, hardworking, self-disciplined, not following the pack, being leaders, and they're pursuing God's call for their life. And I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're both, every parent thinks their kids are special. And
well, they are.
Jake, yeah. My oldest, is amazing. And Eli, my youngest, has got these gifts and skills so different from Jake, but so unique and awesome. And, you know, I tell guys all the time that, you know, God has a plan for your life, and He's given you every single thing you need to accomplish that plan.
Mm.
And so, you know, do we need to expand upon it? Sure. Do we need to grow upon it? Yes. But, you know, we have the things within us that, you know, the Word says in Psalms that He knew us before we were knit in our mother's wombs. And so the plan is already in place. And so, you know, for my boys, I just want them to, you know, the last chapter is called Create a Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, so when I see my boys sowing these same things into their kids,
mm-hmm.
then that's, to me, is success. And I think that's how we take back the home in this country. And we, once we take back the home, then we take back our country.
I totally agree with you, Drew. And, you know, and I think that we as Christians, and particularly here at Family Talk, and Dr. Dobson's heart is so much about reclaiming the family. And I think that we as Christians over the past 15, 20 years have followed our cultural narrative that we need to support women and children and women and children. That's very important. But I don't believe that we can really get our families back until we restore our men. And I think that we women bear a huge responsibility in that. How does your wife, Drew, help you be a better dad?
Well, that is, number one, I just say amen, sister, to everything that you said. And this isn't just something for men to go off on their own and do. You know, God created the family unit, and He said, He told Adam that he needed a helpmeet. And it was not good for him to be alone.
Mm.
And, you know, I know that, you know, it's not good for me to be alone. My wife is amazing.
Mm.
And I'm so blessed. So one of the interesting things as it relates to this, when I wrote my book, you know from being an author that your publisher always wants to know, who's your audience? Who's
mm-hmm.
your primary audience? Who's your secondary audience? And I never thought of women as being one of my target audiences for this book. I have had more women tell me how much they enjoyed the book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And how much they felt like it helped them understand their husband better.
Mm.
And it helped them support him and it helped them be a better wife and a better mom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we can't do this alone. I told my wife, you know, once I got a lot of this down on paper and you know, I kind of, we were doing a lot of this stuff even before I was writing a book. But I was like, honey, you gotta read this. You gotta help me, because I can't do this on my own.
Mm.
And so I think that partnership, number one, is necessary for there to be balance and for there to be health in a home. And then, you know, number two, I think it helps model what a godly, you know, great relationship looks like to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
It lets our boys know how we should lead our homes, and it lets the girls know how, you know, what their part in leading the home is, and what to look for in a husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love for high school, college age girls to read this book and go, all right, I'm going to go find that guy.
Exactly.
You know,
yep.
And so.
You know, exactly. And I think that a lot of Christian women and a lot of women at large in our culture, because of the feminist, you know, revolution and feminism in the 70s and 80s, feel that when we're championing husbands and men, we cannot do that without demeaning women. And that's not true. Strong women encourage strong men.
Absolutely.
And we build on one another's strengths. It's not that one gets stronger and one gets weaker and more subservient. And I think that that's a very ugly twist that a lot of, you know, Christian circles can put on it, that weak women and stronger men is how it goes, and one gets stronger, one gets weaker. And that's not true at all, as you know and I know in having strong marriages. And I think that's important for women to realize, that we can encourage and be kind and respectful and loving to men, and we can quit criticizing them without feeling that we are lesser than or weaker people. It's exactly the opposite. And I think we need, our culture hasn't gotten that. And I don't think our Christian culture has gotten that yet.
When you talk about, you know, women feeling that if a man is strong, the woman's weak.
Yes.
You know, I believe that strength begets strength.
Yes.
And as a woman is pushing her man to be stronger, and the man is becoming stronger, then they both become stronger.
Yes.
And they become stronger together. And that is something that so needs to be modeled.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. There's a lot of, you know, what I would probably deem more old school Christian culture, where, you know, the man's the leader, the man's the home, the woman's subservient, you know. Baloney. My wife is incredibly strong. She is very outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's also very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And she helps me be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
She helps me be the man that I need to be. And so we just can't look at it as, you know, one versus the other. I tell people all the time, in my business, a lot of agents, they want to come next to the player and go, it's you and me against them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my feeling about what my job is my job is to help the player be the best that he can be.
Yeah.
And when I do that, guess how happy the team is.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and so it's the same way in our home. The man and the woman both need to be strong. There has to be, you know, a ultimate leader, and the woman helps shape the man to be the leader that he's supposed to be. And she's right along with him.
Right. But she doesn't shape him by sitting him down and saying, we need to talk. This is what you're not doing right. This is how you need to do it better. I've noticed that you're not speaking very nicely to kids, so knock it off. You need to be better. We don't shape men that way, do we? That's what we do, because that's what we're sort of trained. But what you're talking about is very different from that, isn't it?
It is. And you know, I wish everybody could see how my wife does it, because she's awesome about telling me the things that she's seeing and asking me questions and leading. She's leading.
Hmm.
And again, it's back to the we are a team.
Mm-hmm. I love your book, First Team Dad. You're absolutely right. It is a playbook for dads. It's very important for women to read this book, because we are a huge part of the equation. You know, we can help our dads. We can help our husbands. We can help our ex-husbands be better dads to our kids. But we have to change our narrative. We have to change the way we talk. You even write in your book, we didn't have time to get to it, how you speak, that your words matter. And what I love about First Team Dad is you're talking about really just sort of changing the inner workings of the man, tweaking it here and tweaking it there so that you can let out the best dad that you are on the inside, not do an overhaul, but sort of say, you know, there's goodness and greatness already inside there, guys. So let's start to grow those good parts, and eventually they'll outweigh the negative. And that's how you parent really well. And I think, to me, that's what really comes through in the book.
Well, I appreciate that. And that was the intent. Most guys are good guys.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of the bad stuff that comes out is because we just don't know.
We don't know
what to do. We don't know how to do it. We get frustrated. We weren't taught. We're expected to be, you know, this guy who has all, we're expected to be the guy with the answer.
Exactly. And not only are you not taught, but I've talked to a number of men who are raised in homes with single mothers, and they were not only not taught, but there is a lot of abuse that goes on in single-parent homes. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you look at abusive spouses and abusive parents, there's a very, very high percentage of those abusers that have been abused themselves. So it just, you know, it just perpetuates itself. And so that's why it's so important for husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, whether they're married, whether they're divorced, whether they're not, to sort of say, okay, let's lay life on the table. Let's take a hard look at it and say, how can we do things a little bit better? And you're absolutely right. With some very small changes here and small changes there, make enormous changes in the tone of the home and the culture in the home, the family culture. Well, Drew, it's been delightful talking with you. It's just been a delightful time. I've learned so much by talking with you. I'm encouraged. I'm so glad you're out there championing men. And I really want all of our listeners who haven't heard of Drew or read First Team Dad to go out and buy a copy. And if you're a wife, buy a copy and put it on your husband's bedside table. If you are a mother of a grown son, go it and give it to your grown son who's parenting his children. You know, it's really a book that should be read by anybody who loves a dad and who wants, it is part of a dad's life and wants to encourage him, because men matter, and they matter more in our culture now than they ever have before. So thank you for writing the book, Drew.
Well, Meg, thank you so much for having me, and it has been a joy for me to hear your perspective, and I love your heart to really help families out, and being a woman championing men is amazing. I just say that if your listeners want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is at DPFootballAgent. I have a First Team Dad Facebook page that I would love for people to go, and I post all kinds of helpful things from All Pro Dad and other organizations like that. It's a great tool, and you know, guys, we're in this together.
Absolutely.
And we gotta band together as brothers and fight for our families and fight to become who God's called us to be.
Exactly. And there's freedom there. There's freedom around the corner for every man. So thank you. A website, or you just want them to go to your Facebook or and your Twitter?
Yeah, and our company website is 360sportsllc.com. Okay. And really, you know, we're a sports management company. We represent NFL players and college and NFL coaches and NFL front office personnel. But We're a company that really just wants to be a tool for the Lord, and we feel like as we help people, then you know that's really what we're here for.
Yeah, and well, you're doing a great job. So, God's blessings, and keep up this hard work. What's your next book?
Don't know yet. I don't know if I mentioned it. The book is available on Amazon, so if anybody wants to go there to get it, ChristianBooks.com, BarnesandNoble.com. I do have, Meg, I have some ideas for some other books. I hope, that I have the opportunity to get those down on paper.
Wonderful. Well, when you do, will you please come back to, Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk? We'd love to hear about it.
Anytime you want to have me, I am there.
Great. Thank you, Drew.
Thanks, Meg.
Well, I hope that you've enjoyed this interview with NFL agent Drew Pittman here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about Drew Pittman or his book, First Team Dad, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call at 877-732-6825. Thank you for listening today, and don't miss out on our program next time, where we'll hear from former NFL offensive lineman Brock Gutierrez as we continue our build-up to the big game on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.